On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Good friend in Hollywood, California. Fabian Fanboy, been out there pressing the flesh this week?
A bit of more TV stuff this week in my life than movie stuff.
Right.
I can talk to you about that if you want.
I just want you to tell me about what you've been doing.
Start with movies. Right. Okay, movies.
Firstly, good morning or good afternoon to you.
It's 12:45 in the afternoon here.
So good afternoon to you.
Thank you. Now, Tor Fraser is a guy that I bonded with on the Sacred Heart College school bus as a teenager over movies.
Cool.
We were both really, really into Hudson Hawk and The Last Boy Scout and Lethal Weapon 3 featuring the music of Boys to Men. And now he went on to become a big-time film director.
Hey, don't knock yourself, brother.
Days,
you've done okay.
I wasn't.
Good, okay, I'll just say.
Anyway, his latest film is called... He's actually got two films out this week. A documentary called The Free Man and a narrative film called 6 Days, which is based on a real hostage situation.
Hey, David does have two. That's
London and... In Thatcher's England. And in the early 80s. And it's really exciting to me because this is kind of after The Deadlands, which was a pretty unique proposition and a pretty awesome film, I thought.
Can you succinctly explain to people that may not have seen The Deadlands what it's about? It's quite an excellent movie.
Yeah, it was a New Zealand film, came out about 3 years ago, and it was set in pre-colonial New Zealand. It was like an action film, all in te reo, and it was kind of badass and amazing and kind of like a sort of a New Zealand version of something like Apocalypto, maybe, and a pretty accomplished film that, you're right, and not enough people saw that film, I think. It deserves a bit of a wider audience. But this is his new film, the closest thing he's made to sort of a traditional action thriller. Stars Jamie Bell and Mark Strong, both of whom are actors that I like, and I haven't seen it, so there's me being a loyal friend. I haven't had a chance to over here yet, but it's it played at the festival in New Zealand and now is on a general release. So very excited for that.
Our news and editorial director had the privilege of interviewing the real Kate 80, who was over here on a junket for said film.
Which means what?
That's the character Abby Cornish plays,
yeah,
right?
The BBC journalist that Abby Cornish plays in 6 Days, the real life version, was here talking about what the experience was like for her.
So it's based on a true story.
Yeah. A hostage situation.
A real hostage incident.
Wow, cool. And which is quite different from his other movie that's coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, which is a documentary about a sports person of some kind.
I read the blurb about it like only hours ago. Something to do. It's basically following extreme sort of climbers and what's called slacklining. Don't know if you've seen that. That's freaky ass. And they a guy called Jossie Whedon.
Jossie Wells.
I'm thinking of Joss Whedon. No, I was thinking
Jossie
of that. Jossie Wells, who I can remember interviewing for our TV show years and years ago when he was just a wee. Extreme skier, and he had a mohawk, and that was his thing. It was his little thing, but I don't know if he's still got a mohawk. But it's following him with a bunch of French slackliners climbing mountains and doing freaky things. Slacklining, so out of it.
Base jumping, wingsuit flying, and slacklining.
Thrill addicts much?
Pretty awesome to be a Kiwi director with two films coming out in 1 week, though.
Absolutely. Where's he based? Is he based in New Zealand? Is he based in LA? Is he based in Bulgaria?
I think he's based in New Zealand, but he works a lot in the UK. I think he's actually in Ireland at the moment directing episodes of a show called, it's an AMC kung fu show called Into the Shadows. I'm totally blanking on it. Into the West. Into the Dragon of the West.
Crouch the Western Couch. Yep.
Yeah, I'm really embarrassed. I can't remember, but it's got Martin Chalkhouse in it too. The old Leonard Dodds from Shoreditch Street
Leonard
is in that as well.
He's had another couple of good jobs since then, though. Yeah.
I reckon he is pound for pound New Zealand's most successful acting export ever. Hmm. He's just a bit more quiet about it, you know. He's been in so much good stuff.
He has, eh?
Fabian,
somebody's just texted in and said, "Ask Fabian about it."
It. I was getting to it.
Sorry, Fabian.
Very anticipated Stephen King adaptation. Very difficult to talk about in text form because of its name. They should have just called it Stephen King's It. So it's what has cleared a lot up. I was very affected, like a lot of people, affected by the miniseries that was based on this that
Dear
came out
Lord.
In 1990. They've been...
Me too.
Yeah, they've been threatening to make a film of it for a very long time, and sort of horror's in an interesting place now where I love horror films, but 90% of horror films suck balls. And it's just really exciting when there's a thoughtful one comes along, and there's been a bit of a trend within the studio system last year.
Yeah, it's a remake, isn't it?
For horror films. Well, the original was a miniseries, a TV show. So the idea here is that maybe you could make a big screen version of it that was a bit more overtly horrific than the miniseries, and it would fit nicely into this slightly maturing mainstream horror marketplace. And so I was very excited for it. I thought it didn't do enough to separate itself from the miniseries. It's updated to the 80s. It's getting a very positive reception, and I didn't hate it, but it didn't envelop my heart, and I was never scared.
Never once.
No, and I would. Okay. I love being scared in the movies.
Yeah, not even down the drain. Not even in the drain.
No, I was like, ooh, gross, a drain.
Did you find the monster itself a bit too hyper real? Like as a child?
It's well constructed, but it the thing that I kept thinking about was the latter Nightmare on Elm Street sequel, when they just sort of became a series of high-concept horror set pieces where someone will get tormented by some imaginative interpretation of something. And it didn't feel like I was sort of... There was a really strong through line there. The non-horror stuff is all really nicely done and pretty nuanced, and the kid actors are great.
Yeah.
I do think that the character didn't get enough of a chance to be quietly menacing. As you suggest, it was a bit frenetic, and a lot of special effects applied, and they'd love messing with the pupils of the eyes going in every which way but loose.
Yeah.
And it never quite clicked into genuine, unnerving terror for me. It's not a bad film, and a lot of people seem to be really liking it. So, I just didn't click for me, unfortunately.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead, please, LA Line.
I want to know what happened yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday we got sent a copy of the book to have a look at, and Sarah's obviously read the book. I'm a massive Stephen King fan. Haven't actually read Stephen King for quite a while, but I have read a lot of Stephen King in my time, and I couldn't really remember how the story went. And Sarah said, "Yeah, you take the book, you take it. There we go. And tell me what I think about the end, because the end's not in the movie or something like that." So I started reading the book from about two thirds of the way through, and I kind of like, and which was fine. I just hadn't read Stephen King for a while, and man, he's such a good writer. He's really good, eh? I don't care what anyone says.
He's really good at narrative. He's really good
I found
good
it
at
hard to put
up.
Down.
He's really good at
didn't
building
want to go
attention.
To the movie. I don't want to go to the movie.
But there's also a lot of coke up that nose and the end of it, the
How
book.
How judgmental.
But it's fine. Each to their own. But the
George
end of
Bush.
It, the book, is just the stuff that goes down that quite obviously could never be in the movie that 11-year-olds should not really be doing. Anyone who's read the book will know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was sitting there during the movie going, where's the gangbang? Come on!
Fabian!
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting you bring that up.
Well, there's Fabian again.
It's a very torturous development process where the original director, Cary Fukunaga, who made Beasts of No Nation in the first season of True Detective, he was apparently wanting to do a much darker version of this film than the studio was willing to let him do. not it's a point of contention if you wanted to include the Notorious scene we're discussing, but he wanted to go a bit
thanks
more
for, thanks for spoiling it for me, guys.
Well, the thing is, it's a book, a weird book to start reading two-thirds of the way through because it jumps back and forth in time. This film, there's an element of kind of commercial cravenness with this film in that they've only chosen to focus on the childhood part. So, hey, if it's a big hit, we got a sequel, which is a nice idea, but it suffers from that sense of like, oh, we've got stuff up our sleeve.
Yeah.
Like, just make a good film.
Definitely, which was and a bit cringy.
The ideal version of what this is Stand By Me with horror. You know,
absolutely.
That's what you're kind of looking for here. And it occasionally kind of tips over into that, this film, but not in a consistent way that that left me with that impression. And I sort of, but I'm glad that people are excited about it. It will be good for horror cinema if it's a hit, because there should be more films that, horror films that can, I say brave enough, but are willing to have young kids as protagonists and have it be a serious, proper horror film. And this is that film. It's just not the best version of that film.
Someone's texted in and said, the pupils effect on Pennywise and not CGI.
I read that. It said that Bill Skarsgård, the actor who plays, someone's been on the IMDb DB trivia page, it looks like.
Jumped the gun, eh?
He was able to do all that with his eyes, but there's a lot of stuff where one's going up, one's going down.
I know a couple of kids that can do that. I know a couple of kids can do that. Pretty weird.
But there's, I'm pretty sure there's a bit of augmentation there. A lot of stuff slips onto that IMDb trivia page.
All right. Well, then let's get off the IMDb. Let's get onto the TV. What telly news you got for us?
Well, I've been doing a lot of stuff this week for this new show, The Deuce.
We talked about that yesterday.
New show.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, it's
sounds
really
good.
Amazing. It's set in, you know, like Sidney Lumet's New York, kind of early 70s, Martin Scorsese style. And it's freaking awesome. And it's quite full on. It's quite brutal. It's about prostitution and criminality and pornography. All the best stuff. and James Franco plays twins, and I think he's really good in it.
And I read just a quick little bit about it, where he was saying that the director said to him that it's you're actually playing for the first time in your life, you're actually playing a proper grown man.
Sounds like you read my Herald article.
Mate, was it your Herald article? Yes. I read. I was funny because I was thinking the same thing before I read it. Yeah, but was it your article?
Always plays man boys. Man boys, and now he's kind of convincing, and he plays the guy who's like a bar manager in Times Square who kind of gets, because of his ne'er-do-well twin brother, gets kind of thrust into being a mob front bar manager. But it was it's so hard to make shows set in the 70s without seeming kind of a bit earnest or try hard or weird. Like Vinyl suffered for that stand-up show I'm Dying Up Here suffered a bit for that, but this feels gritty, and the pimps in it are freaking awesome. If anyone out there has seen a film called The Mac, looks like they've taken a lot of inspiration from that. But it's also, it's overt, and it's kind of hilarious, but it's also really messed up and very interesting. So I think that starts on the 11th on Soho over there.
It does. It starts on
check it out, which is Monday.
The 11th here on Soho and on Neon.
Roger. All right, Fabian, back to Hollywood with you. Thanks very much. Nice to talk to you, my friend. Hope you're well. And good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the last third of it. Bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.